Shalom of the Baal Shem Tov. But he actually brings it not B'Shem, Baal Shem Tov here, which is interesting. Okay, so let's see. Parshas Baal Oischa, Dego Machane Ephraim. I got a text from someone the other day, and they said, is Dego Machane Ephraim, someone who listens online. He was very distraught. He said, is Dego Machane Ephraim series over for the year? I said, I hope not. So here we are, Baruch Hashem, keeping it alive. Okay, second piece in the Parsha. Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael V'al Pi Hashem Yachanu. Okay, Chavra, pop quiz. How many times does that phrase appear in the Parsha? Well, it's a fake question because it appears once, but a variation of that phrase, that we would travel and camp according to Hashem, appears three times in the Parsha. And the Dego Machane Ephraim wants to know two things. Why does it appear three times? And why does it sometimes say Yisu before Yachanu or Yisau before Yachanu? And why sometimes the opposite? Ro'i l'sim lev al shenemar b'parsha zo shlosha pamim al pi Hashem v'al pi Hashem. Right? Three times it says, by the word of God and by the word of God. They would camp, they would travel, they would camp. Uv'rishona nemar al pi Hashem yisu v'al pi Hashem yachanu. The first time it says, according to the word of Hashem, they would travel, and according to the word of Hashem, they would camp. U'shnei pamim, but then the other two times it says, al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisu. Right, camping before traveling. So the shaila is, what's the story with that? Bavadai lo lechinam nishtana halashon, v'gam huchpal shalosh pa'amim davar echad. So two questions. Again, it's not by chance that Hashem changed the language. One time it's Yisau before Yachanu, one time Yachanu before Yisau. And it's also not by chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it three times. Now he's not going to focus on why Dafka specifically three times, but multiple times. He wants to know why multiple times does it appear. V'yesh lomar lefi anias daiti b'zeh al pi shashamati oymrim b'shem harav hamanoach moreinu harav Yehuda Leib Pistiner zecher tzadik levracha. Now, I don't know too much about this tzadik, but he was definitely someone from the, again, from this early world of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. I do know that in the Sefer Teshuos Chen, by Rav Gedalia of Linitz, in Parshas Toldos, he brings the mashal that we're about to learn from the Baal Shem Tov. Here in the footnotes, it says, look in the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Shemos as well. I didn't have a chance to check, although I think he's probably correct that it's there as well, maybe in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. But here's the mashal. And Chavah, this is a really, really important mashal of Rav Yehuda Leib Pistiner and a important mashal that apparently is attributed in some places to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hu yinahagenu almus. Pasha Pshat. We say it in Shir Shalyom. What does it mean? Hu yinahagenu. What's a nahag? The bus driver in Eretz Yisrael, right? Yinahagenu means to lead us. So Hashem will lead us almus. What does almus mean? If you look in Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk, Ibn Ezra says, Olamit, forever. Hashem will guide us forever. Hashem will lead us forever. Okay. Hainu ka'ele. I'll tell you what Rashi says after we read the mashal. How Rashi reads the pasuk. But the pasuk pshat is that Hashem will protect us and guide us forever. Hainu ka'elem hazeh. What does it mean? Almos and elem. What's an elem? An elem is a young child. Derech mashal. Kisha'aviv limed oso leilich. When a parent is teaching a child to walk. Bitchila molich oso ma'at biyado v'acher kach manicho marchek atzmo ma'at mimenu. First, the parent stands very close. The child is afraid to fall. The child doesn't know how to take a step. My adorable little niece, who lives two doors down, Henny Weinberg, so she knows how to stand up at this point, but she sometimes gets stuck, like she doesn't know how to sit down. So she could get like stuck, like holding onto a bookcase, and then you know you're in the other room, you hear her crying. And she got my brother sent me a video the other day. Poor Henny was stuck standing up. She didn't know how to sit down, right? And she has this move where she slides around on her rear end, and a little bit of crawling. So for a child to learn how to move is a big thing, is a frightening thing. So a parent holds the child's hands, and now, okay, let go of the bookshelf. We're going to take a step, and the child's very nervous. So the parent's literally holding the child's hands. But as the child starts to gain confidence, if the parent wants to enable the child to walk on his own or her own, the parent has to keep moving the hands back and moving the hands back and pulling back and pulling back. So b'tchila molichoso ma'at biyado, at first the parent helps the child to walk, literally holding the child's hands, And then the parent starts to pull back a little bit more and a little bit more. And what's the purpose of that? Because the parent's abandoning the child? No. He wants the child to learn how to walk on his own. So this is the way that the parent is training the child to learn the movement of walking. The parent will do it many times. You took one step, now you took two steps, now you took three steps. Each time the parent is training the child. Right? I told you guys, I taught my little tzaddikul over here, Yaakov, how to ride a bike. So at first, right, daddy, don't let go of me. Don't let go of the bike. Don't let go for just a second. Right? And now, Baruch Hashem, he can do it on his own. So that's the way that a parent, will the child fall sometimes? Of course the child will fall sometimes. Right? Is that because the parent wants the child to fall? No. Is falling part of growing and learning how to do it? Of course it is. So obviously, to take this mashal into the realm of a relationship with our Father and our King, at first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, takes you out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sarusa de Le'ela. Hashem provides for you. Hashem gives you a little bit of a pleasure, a sweetness in Avodas Hashem. Hashem takes you by the hand and he walks with you. Va'acher kach marchik as atzmo vimenu kedei sheyelechu ba'atzmo ma'at al yedei yeshtadluso vispa'aluso. But then Hashem pulls back. And Hashem says, okay, let me see you walk on your own. V'zehu yinahagenu almus. Again, the Pasha Pshat, Hashem will guide us or lead us forever. But says this mashal of the Baal Shem Tov and her Yehuda Leib Pistoner, Hainu ke'elem v'sino kazeh, right? Like a child or like a baby. Almus is lashon elem, and elem means a child. So Hashem leads us like he leads a child, first holding our hand, but then challenging us to let go a little bit. Now the truth is, if you look in Rashi on that pasuk, the pasuk from Tehillim Mem Ches, Rashi actually says, I wrote down the words, ka'adam hamanig espano katan la'at. Right, very interesting. Rashi actually translates the pasuk this way, like a parent who, like a person who leads his child, his young child, step by step. Okay, so the truth is, the mashal in a certain sense is really Rashi's mashal, right? It's David HaMelech's mashal. But
Rashi was a chassid.
Rashi was a chassid. Okay.
Rashi's so misunderstood by us,
Or maybe he's understood by us. Who knows? Okay, so that's the mashal. It's a gevaldik mashal. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to disappear in your life after Hashem was guiding you along, and you say, hey, what happened here? No. Hashem's saying, I want you to learn how to walk on your own. Learn how to take steps on your own. It's so important to not always be held by the hand. Right? It's sort of, again, it's Avram Avinu's Lech Lecha versus Noach being, guided by the hand. So there's a certain ability that Hashem wants us to be able to go out on our own. There's a paradox of being a parent. You raise a child, and obviously a good parent wants the child to have independence, but the downside of that independence is that the child now spends less time with the parent, right? A parent wants, the greatest joy is marrying off a child, but that means that the child is going to move out of the house and build his or her own bias. So on some level, there's this conflicted feeling within the parent. On the one hand, I want to teach my child to be able to move on his own, but I also don't want my child to drift away. So that's always the challenge. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu strikes a balance between holding us by the hand and pulling back and allowing us to develop our own strength. So at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, when you're young, Hashem first holds you by the hand and he guides you along. And the truth is, as life goes on, you see that life gets more and more complicated. You would think, the more I understand about life, the more I feel like I get it. But the truth is, for some people, and again, not to be overly, to overly generalize this truth, but for some people, they come back from Israel and they're very inspired, and their tzitzis are out, and they're talking a little bit with the yeshiva shesprach, and they're doing their thing. And then, life gets complicated. Everything that they thought was going to last forever, it's not so easy to maintain those values and to maintain that hasamada and to daven the Shmona Esrei as long as I did, my first day back after Shana Aleph, right? And it's Hashem moving back a little bit and challenging us to grow in a real way. So at first, in the early stage, again, of a person's spiritual development, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds your hands. V'acher kachish nizgadol v'avodas Hashem yizbarach, hu gam kein bebechinas zeh, v'hu bechinas katnus v'gadlus kiyadua. U'bechinas hakatnus hu arachaka, kadei sheyuchal avo lebechinas gadlus rishon v'gadlus sheni. In other words, there's a process. He's going to talk about what he calls katnus rishon and katnus sheni and godless rishon and godless sheni. Again, I don't know what these concepts really mean, but let's just use them as levels, right? Meaning at first the parent is sort of holding and not holding, right? The concept of merachefes al pnei hamayim, you know, mati velo mati, touching and not touching. First the parent's holding hands. Then the parent is sort of touching and not touching at the same time. Eventually the parent lets go. And that's the most frightening moment for the child. But again, these processes of holding and then letting go a little bit and then letting go a little bit more, these are all shlavim, different madregos of developing self. U'kashuhu bekatnus u'mevinzos. So when a person is in that state of katnus and he recognizes that, shuhu bebechina ha'astarach manalitzlan, u'megageya alze u'meshtalde v'holich madrega l'madrega, u'mekarev atzom b'halicha al avim v'shva shamayim. When I'm feeling disconnected because Hashem has pulled back and but I want to challenge myself to take more steps than I ever took before, and I start to move forward to draw myself close to Hashem. Oz bevadai gam hamadregos katnos shelo yeshlo iloi gadol al yedeze. So for a child, think about it. Let's use the parent-child mashal, and it's a very fitting mashal. What happens? The parent lets go of the child's hand, yeah, and the child takes two steps, right, and then the next day the child takes three steps. So imagine the father is helping the child to take steps, and the mother's in the other room, or vice versa. And one parent calls out to the other parent, "You got to see this! What is it? Yesterday, little Yankala only took two steps. Today, Yankala took three steps. Whoa! I can't believe it. He took three steps. Let me see." Right? And you show off the new trick that Yankala, the little boy, can now take three steps. Unbelievable! Now, on a certain level. Three steps. What's three steps? You know what I'm saying? What's three steps? For an adult, three steps? It's nothing to celebrate. I can walk. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Most people can walk. Obviously, when a person is not able to walk, it's obviously a big deal to take three steps. So what the child is doing, which in some type of, objective way, three steps, well, so what's the big deal? Baruch Hashem, most human beings are able to walk. What's so great about it? The parents are going wild. The parents are like, "Oh my God, look at the child took three steps. It's unbelievable. You have to see this." And they're videoing it, right? You would never video yourself taking three steps and send it to your friends. Say, "Look at that, I took three steps today." But obviously, in this mashal nimshal, the child's three steps, l'fi madregaso, is a big deal for the parent. So it's really, we have to really believe it's the same thing with us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we really can't belittle the mashal nimshal and take it, the mashal and the nimshal don't match up exactly. They do match up exactly. When we take baby steps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes wild. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes crazy. You know, like Rabbi Nachman said, and like one of the tzaddikim of Chernobyl said, Rabbi Nachman said, when a Jew twirls his payas, right, he's moving the olamos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going wild. Or like one of the, I think Ramatul Chernobler said that when a Jew moves his finger, right, he's just like pointing to something. He's shaking the olamos, right? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is rejoicing that he sees the movements, the tenuos, katanos of his child. So it's a big deal in Shemayim. As bevadai gam, again, hamadregos katanos shalo, yesh lo iloi gadol al yedei zeh. What appears small is a big deal to the parent. And again, talking again in the spiritual realm, a step in a state of katnus is a step towards godless, and upon godless will be built higher and higher madregos. Again, my grandfather spoke about, what are these madregos and these. Again, these processes of climbing from a state of katnus to a katnus / godless to a state of actual godless. Okay, ayin in the Svarim Hakadoshim. V'zeh ma sheshamati b'shem hamanoach marenu harav shol mimezhbush. Okay, you've heard of Rav Baruch of Mezhbush. Rav Shol mimezhbush. Rav Shol of Mezhbush said a remez on the Gemara in Bav Metzia. It says in Bava Metzia, Okiru l'neshayichu k'dei shetis atru. Okiru. Nu, chasen, listen carefully. Okiru l'neshayichu. Okiru, give kavod to your wife. K'dei shetis asru. So that you will become rich. Okay? I leave it to you to figure out what the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is. But Okiru l'neshayichu, give honor to your wife so that you will become rich. But Rishal of Medrash is explained. Like we say when we say a hadron. Right? We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us not to what? Lo sisneshei, lo nisneshei. Right? We don't want to forget the learning that we did. Or Menasha was called Menasha. Kinashani. Right? A lashon of forgetting. So nashim, the word nash, is associated with forgetting. So okiru l'nashayichu, give kavod to your forgetting. Give honor to your forgetting. What does that mean? Hainu lashon shechacha. Kamo Nashani Elokim. That's where Menashe got his name from. When Yosef says, Nashani Elokim, God has forgotten me. Hainu kishenofel lif'amim lebechinas katnus v'shocheach ba'Hashem. When you have a state of what? Of Nashaychu, of Nashani Elokim. When a person has a yurida, a moment of katnus, you forget about Hashem, you feel disconnected from Hashem. Al tavuzu osi lomar ki azav Hashem osi chalila. Don't say I've been abandoned by Hashem. That would be like the child thinking that the parent who's teaching the child how to walk has abandoned the child. God forbid, it's not abandonment. I've been forgotten. No, adaraba. What does it mean? Why is Hashem doing this? Okiru l'neshayichu, says the Gemara. Give honor to your forgetfulness. Respect the process of abandonment. In other words, understand that it's not really abandonment. And what does the Gemara say? So that you will become rich. Realize that Hashem is pulling back His hands from you to train you how to walk. Because Hashem wants you to reach new heights. The stone that was disgraced and abandoned and forgotten and overlooked by the builders eventually becomes the Rosh Pina, becomes the cornerstone. Or as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Mi vaz leyom ketanos. Right? Don't show disregard. Don't show disrespect to those low moments of our life. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu helping you to build your muscles, to stretch a little further, to take another step. And again, you might feel like it's a baby step, but a parent goes crazy when a baby takes a step. It's a big simcha in Shemayim for Hashem when we take a baby step. Vezeo Sharim Zaha Torah Kadosha Klal. This is what the Torah Kadosha explains to us. The following idea in our parsha, what did we start with? What was the question? Al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachanu, three times. And it switches the order. Chever, this is an amazing klal. Listen carefully. Here's the klal. The klal is Kol Bechinas Avodas Hashem, Avodas HaAdam, I'm sorry, Minu Rav Ad Olam, Hu Yinahagenu Almus, right? This is how it is forever. Here's the process by which we learn how to walk in Avodas Hashem. The first time it says Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. By Hashem's word you shall travel, by Hashem's word you shall camp. Hainu. Ki Yitchilas Avodas Ha'adam Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma Malicho. At first Hashem helps you travel before He helps you to camp. In other words, Hashem holds your hands. V'zeo Al Pi Hashem Yisu. V'achar Kach Manicho. But then afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yachanu doesn't only mean to encamp, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Hashem is Manicho, Hashem leaves you alone. Remember the difference between Lehaniach and Lehoniach? When we put on tefillin, Lehoniach means to put the tefillin on. Lehaniach, right, would mean to put aside the tefillin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachanu, Hashem is Maniach a person, Hashem abandons you. Al pi Hashem Yachanu. After holding your hands, then Hashem lets go. Hashem lets go of your hands in order to let you, you know, climb and grow and stretch to try to glow, to try to grow close to Avinu Shabashamayim. And this is how it always is. The first Hashem holds your hand, but then Hashem pulls back. And then how does the Pasuk appear the second and third time in the Parsha? It's Yachanu before Yisau. V'achar kach mefarish shnei pa'amim al pi Hashem Yachanu, al pi Hashem Yisau. V'hu lirmoz al katnus rishon v'gadlus rishon, katnus sheni v'gadlus sheni. In other words, the first time it appears, it has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding your hands. Al pi Yisu. Hashem walks with you. And then only afterwards, Al Pi Hashem Yad, then Hashem lets go. But then, in order to keep going to the next level, and the next level, it's first it's Yachanu, and then it's Yisu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to let go. Letting go already? Yeah, because I want you to keep stretching. I'll catch you if you fall. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, don't worry. We'll travel together. But I keep Hashem the second time, the third time. It feels like Hashem is pulling further and further away. What's going on? But all of this, again, is part of the training of a Yid to help us to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? As this answers a question that the Gemara raises, I think he's referring to Gemara and Shabbos. Let's skip ahead to the next little paragraph. V'zeh yesh lomar gamkin haremez trua yit lemaseyim. It says in Perek Yud Pasuk Vav, it says trua yisku lemaseyim. The trua is sounded as they travel. They would signal to each other, it's time to travel. Hashem is telling us it's time to move. But what does the word trua mean? Chever, this is really important. Look what he says. Trua yesh lo beiz peirushim. There's two ways to understand the word teruah. Teruah on the one hand means what? As opposed to the tkia, which is a straight sound, what's the truah? Shvarim, truah, it's a broken sound. The word truah means broken. What else does the word truah mean? The word teruah can actually also mean connection. How so? It's a lashon of chibur. Like it says, usruas melech bo. It's lashon of reyus, teruah. It's companionship, it's friendship, it's connection. So on the one hand, it's tiro'eim b'shevet barzel, break them with an iron rod, and at the same time, it's teruas melech bo, it's attachment to Hashem, it's friendship with Hashem. So what does it mean, teruah yitku'u l'maaseyem? That teruah is yitku'u, is sounded to travel. What does it mean? B'husha meramis, l'maaseyem, when a Jew travels in this world, all of life, as you grow from one level to the next, hu alpi teruah. It's a process of breaking and then reattaching, breaking and reattaching. It's a shvira for the sake of chibur. What a beautiful idea. And it's mamish, the word trua means both. Hainu kishenofa lefamim lakadnos, realize that when you break, when you have a yirido, al yidei zeh nasa chibur v'kisei. Ve'echad ve'echad yigashu kakaton kagadol. And they're all, again, they're just various processes of breaking apart to come back together, breaking apart to come back together. Again, we mimic this process in the marriage process of taras hamishpacha. Times when a husband and wife are not permitted to each other, and then they come back together. They're allowed to be together. They reunite, apart together. It's mimicking that yichud of husband and wife is mimicking that the marriage that every one of us shares with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Times of closeness, times of distance. But recognizing that the distance is always for the sake of closeness, that the time apart is to bring us together, that the trua of breaking is a trua of chibur, and that hu yinahagenu almus, Hashem is always guiding us, right? The pashup shot in the pasuk, almus olamit, forever. But again, it's through the process of an elem, like a child learning how to walk. That's how a Kadosh Baruch Hu guides us through this world. Okay? Va'azai nasa perish trua lashon chibur v'yichud. So through the trua of brokenness, we come to a trua of attachment. Okay, it's a gevaldik Torah. What should we do? What else should we do? All right, on the same theme. Let's do the next two pieces, and then I'll just show you his gematria at the end of the parsha. We'll do the next two little pieces. Okay, first of all, the next piece, usakatem trua shenis yitku l'maaseyim. Again, that same pasuk, perek yud pasuk vav. That when they would sound the trumpets, they would sound the shofar blasts, when they would get Klal Yisrael ready to move, right? They would signal to them it's time to travel. What does it mean? Yesh lomar b'zeh b'derech remes. Ki kumo sha Torah mora derech leida ma lasos. What does the word Torah mean? I've told you many times. Hora'a. It guides us. It directs us. It teaches us what to do. That's what the word itself means. It teaches us. So just like the Torah is the mora derech to teach us what to do. Kena Torah gam kein mora derech ba'olamos elyonim lios holech madrega madrega mi'olam la'olam. The Torah is not a simple book of law to be followed. You know, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, and as long as you follow the rules, God will like you, and if you break the rules, you get arrested. You'll get yourself into trouble. Right? The Torah, just like the Torah guides us how to, you know, warm up our challah on Shabbos, and how the Torah teaches us to tie our shoes, and how the Torah, guides us in koshering a kitchen, the Torah also is also a guidebook, right, to the galaxy. It tells us how to travel from one world to the next, to be holy, madrega, madrega, to travel not just through our world, how to manage our life in this world, where to go, when to go, how to go, but it guides us through all of the worlds. Ukeshehu masig zakos ubihiras haTorah. And the more deeply you learn the Torah, the more you realize that it's not just a book of laws, and it's not a history book. It's a guidebook to all of the universe, and all of its components, all of the spiritual realms. Holech ba'olam shehu zachu bahir. The more clarity you have in Torah, the more you're able to travel in and out of those worlds. Like the tzaddikim who mamish, literally, I mean, all the stories of the Baal Shem Tov, right? You know, traveling in the worlds and seeing things in worlds beyond worlds. So that's what happens when we study the Torah deeply. And that's what Teruah is. Teruah, he says, is Torah Ayin. Teruah means to understand the Shivim Panim LaTorah, the 70 facets, 70 faces of Torah. Hainu Shiesh Ayin Panim LaTorah. So it says the Pasuk, Teruah, that through Teruah, through the deep understanding of the various facets and dimensions of Torah, Yitku, of course, is also a Lashon of Chibor, right? Something takua means it's stuck. You take a peg and you're hammered into place, right? That's a Lashon of takua. So Yitku, so through Torah you become what? You become attached, Lemasa Eham, to all of the various travels. It's exciting to think that Torah gives us, again, not just practical guidance, how to get through my day, but Torah, if I can unlock the secrets of the Torah, and again, obviously, you know, each person, lefi madregaso, but realize that Torah, it gives us, if we don't even know how to travel, you know, we don't know how to do this type of, you know, time travel with Torah, but at least we should know the book that we're holding in our hand has such a koach. That the psukim that I'm reading have the ability to, again, the Baal Shem Tov would hop in his wagon and say a couple of shemos hakadoshim extracted from the Torah, and he would have kvitzas haderech. He could literally travel from one place to the next and see things on the other side of the world, in this physical world and in spiritual realms. Hainu sha'al yidei or haTorah holich v'noseya me'olam la'olam v'amaskil yavin. And again, on a simpler level, maybe on a more practical level, the more Torah we learn and the deeper we learn it, the better we're able to navigate this world. Forget about all the other realms and worlds. But the better, the deeper you have an understanding of Torah, the more it helps you to just find your way through life. And we have to remember that. It's not just a list of do and don't and some history lessons thrown in. It's mamash a guide to every move that we make in this world and all of the moves that we have access to in higher realms. Okay? One more piece and then just the gematria. Uvahakil as hakahal titku'u velo sariu. When they would gather the camp together, they would sound the tekiah, but not the trua. Yesh lomar bezel pima sheshamati oimrim b'shem harav hamanoach marinu harav Nachman Horodanker. Ki kesha odem hu bekatnus v'yodeyu mevin zeh. Thematically, let's go back to this idea. When a person is in a state of katnus, and you know you're down, you know it's not, you're not in a good state. I don't know how to daven with kavana right now. I'm not feeling it. Or I'm making this mistake over and over again. So you know what you can do? Listen to this advice. It's so practical. Yovin ki bavada yesh ba'olam, sheheim oz ba'eis hahu b'b'chinas gadlus, v'yichlos atzmo imahem. Recognize the fact that, hold on a second, there's got to be someone in the world right now, right, who's got it together. So let's say right now I'm going through like a really bad streak with my davening, right? So there has to be, I have to imagine, there's got to be someone out there who's davening really well right now, who's probably having their best davening ever right now, right? Like the time that I had my best davening ever. Right now I'm really down, not doing well. But I have to recognize there's got to be someone in the world who's in a state of godless at the moment that I'm in a state of katnus. So in my little Dalet Amos, I'm in like a dark place right now. But there's people in the world who are very connected right now. Who are spiritually, you know, basking in the light of Torah, in the light of Tefillah, in the light of Avodas Hashem. So what should I do? You know what I should try to do? I should try to connect to them. Connect to them might mean going to actually spend time with them. Connect to them might be just picturing such a person in the world and feeling, knowing he's my fellow Jew and feeling connected to that person. Maybe someone I can actually picture. Maybe someone I've never even met. V'zeh yesh lomar. That's what our pasuk is hinting to. Uvahakil es hakal, when we gather together the tzibur, hainu, kishakal heim v'yichru va'ava, u'mekuravin echad al echad, when I see myself as being connected to something bigger, when I'm feeling connected to the tzibur that is Klal Yisrael, azay kishe'echad hu lefam b'uchinas kanus, so then when we're united in that way, when one of us is down, when one of us is not able to, so to speak, take that next step on his own, so you know what the chevra does? What do soldiers do on a battlefield if one of their men goes down? They carry him. They pick him up. Right? He's injured, but I'm going to carry for him. I'm going to lend my legs to him to carry him. So when we're connected to one another, when one of our soldiers, so to speak, in the army of Hashem is down, afal pichin, legadlus yechashev bihikolo asmo elaklal. He can still, you know, be above his own katnus by being a part of the tzibur. Vishami yesh mavade b'chinas gadlus. Attach yourself to the tzibur, and in the tzibur is in a state of godless. You know, there's a halachic principle the Gemara talks about. The Gemara has a halachic principle that tzibur ain't omes. The tzibur can't die. Right? Sometimes we have certain karbanos of an individual, and the individual dies. So what happens to the karban now? Does his child bring the karban on his behalf? Does the karban not get offered now? Does the karban lose its sanctity now? What happens to the karban? But when it comes to karbanos hatzibur, the tzibur doesn't die. So even if an individual dies, the tzibur of Klal Yisrael always lives on. So that means if I see myself, it's a halachic concept, but that means that if I see myself as part of the tzibur, right, so then I'm always alive. Even when I feel dead, I feel spiritually dead. But if I see myself as connected to the tzibur, my katnus allows my, when I'm in a state of godless, I can allow myself to tap into that godless and to not feel down, to not feel dead, because I attach myself to those who are on fire for Hashem. As I nimshach alav gamkin, so then that's drawn upon me. So chaver, let's go back to the pasuk. What does it say? Uvahakil esakal, when the tzibur is gathered, titku velo sariu. What does that mean? Titku velo sariu, tekiya but not trua. What does that mean? So he explains, Tisku velo sariyu hainu lo techashev lebechina shvir of a katnus, rak nasim izeh chibur veyichud. Tisku, he said, is what? What's takua? Means to be attached to, connected, right? What is terua? We said it's really both, right? But the pasha pshat in terua is breaking. It's a broken sound. So when you're feeling down, be part of the tzibur, tisku'u, attach yourself to the tzibur, v'lo taru, lo tariu, and don't allow yourself to be broken. Don't allow yourself to wallow in your, in your lowliness. And that's an amazing opportunity that we're given as part of a tzibur, right? The Jewish people, by truly being connected to one another, it's not just in our heads, on a level of neshama. Me and Armando, we're one and the same, you and I. We're one and the same. On the level of body, we're two different bodies in different countries right now, different parts of the world right now. No, not different countries, same country. Where are you now? You're still in Florida? Where are you? What planet are you on, Armando? What galaxy are you traveling through? I can't
hear. Yes.
Where? Miami. You're still in Miami. Okay, so I think we're in
Hashem's planet.
As far as I know, we're on the same, yeah, we're on Hashem's planet together. That's right. So on the level of, you know, state lines, we're in different states. Right? On the level of bodies, we're in different bodies. On the level of soul, also there's some type of difference, but on a certain level, we're one and the same. So therefore, the fact that we're part of a kal, or part of a tzibur, tisku, attach yourself to that. Velo sariu, and don't allow yourself, like the trua sound, like the broken sound of the shofar, the broken blast. Don't allow yourself to be broken. That's what we have to try to do. Okay, Chavra, I have to stop in just a second, but I want to just end by showing you the little gematria he has at the end of the parsha, because we don't see too many gematrias in Degel Malchin Ephraim. But he gave us a nice one today. So we'll end with this. The very last piece in the parsha, just a couple of lines. It's an interesting question he asks. Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem, kel na refa na la. Right, Miriam's tzaras. Moshe Rabbeinu is onam mikol adam. Moshe doesn't care if anyone speaks about him, but Hashem cares. So Miriam gets tzaras. Daf Yomi just learned this week in Masechet Shabbos about whether or not Aaron also had tzaras, if we're allowed to say such a thing. But Moshe cries out to Hashem and he says, Kel na refa na la, please Hashem, heal her. Bring her refuah. What's the problem? V'tzarech lahavin l'chora. Hatzarech lahazkir shem achola v'shem imo. However, we know that you're supposed to, when you daven, you're supposed to say the person's name. Why? Hashem knows who I'm talking about it. I can just think about it. Why do I have to say the person's name? Isn't it enough just to say Hashem should make everyone who's sick feel better? No. We're supposed to emphasize the person's name. And the more precisely we can do it, the better. Which is why we use the mother's name. Right? Because even though we have a chazakah that your dad is your dad, and we certainly hope that that's true, right? But for sure, your mom is your mom. There were people in the room who saw you literally come out of her body, and that we can prove, absolutely. So even though obviously there's a chazakah that your father is truly your father, but when it comes to tefillah, we want to be as precise as we can be. It's actually based on the Zohar. Anyone know what the source is? Who davened using someone's name and said it very precisely, even though it seems excessive? Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. Why does Yaakov say, save me from the hand of my brother Esav? As if God forgot who his brother was. Hashem doesn't know who he's talking about. The Zohar says, we see from here, you're supposed to daven in a precise way. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say Miriam's name. Is he trying to protect the innocent? She got saras because she maligned him? She spoke against him? Why does Moshe not say her name? How could it be that he's going to compromise the tefillah? Says the Degelmach and Ephraim, Govalta Kamatria. He says, no, he did say her name. Yeah? What about her mother's name? Oh, he said her mother's name also. Really? Yes. Because the Gematria of Rifa Na, please Hashem, heal her. How much is Rifa? Resh Pe Aleph is 281. How much is Na? 51. So what do you have? 332. Who's he davening for? Miriam. What's her mother's name? Yocheved. Rifa Na is Gematria Miriam plus Yocheved. So he really was saying her name and her mother's name as he davened for her. And yet Moshe still did it. I'm filling in now. I hope I'm not overstepping by saying this, but I would suggest that Moshe couldn't compromise the tefillah. He has to say her name and her mother's name to make sure the tefillah is a strong tefillah. But at the same time, he was sensitive not to. He didn't want to talk about the one who was responsible for speaking bad about him. So he spoke her name. Mamish said her name, but in a concealed way, with great sensitivity, as a way of bringing healing to his beloved sister Miriam, who he had no tainas against. Moshe Rabbeinu was on of Mikol Adam. He didn't care that she said. And again, she was saying for good reasons, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, Hashem punished her. She got saras. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened for her by saying her name and saying her mother's name, but at the same time doing it in a very tzanua way. Okay? So, chaver, we should be zocha to be attached to one another, to overcome our katnus. We should be big people. We should realize that when Hashem pulls his hands back, it's not because he's abandoning us. Hu yinahagenu almus. Hashem guides us forever. But Hashem is sometimes pulling his hands back to give us an opportunity to grow. All right? So we'll stop here.